No, well, I feel really dumb. That's deja vu. I guess that really couldn't be it, huh? Well, here, let me get all the equipment turned back on and rolling and going here. As long as I'm here, I guess I might as well be going around one more time.
For a very important date. No time to say hello, goodbye. I'm late, I'm late, I'm late, I'm late. And...
does anybody really know what time it is?
This is a time machine.
When I speak of time, gentlemen, I'm referring to the fourth dimension.
Yes, but what is the fourth dimension?
That's mere theory. No one really knows what the fourth dimension is, or even that it exists.
Time, as the man said, is what keeps everything from happening all at once.
I am talking about traveling through time in a machine constructed for that very purpose.
Kid, no excuse for laying off work.
Hot town, summer in the city, back of my neck getting dirty and gritty.
I am the supreme being, I'm not entirely dim. Creation. I mustn't waste any more time. They'll think I've lost control again and put it all down to evolution.
We travel into the future, although slowly, all the time. But what about the past? Could we journey into yesterday?
I am talking about traveling through time.
Tell me, Doctor, where are we going this time?
What I meant was that, you see, after I give him a shot of the key to time, he'll kill you. And then he'll kill me. And perhaps you don't care.
All I wanted to do.
We have the power to do anything we like. There's only my will. Possess the key to time.
Anything wrong with a Wayback Machine, Mr. Peabody?
Nearly changing the fan belt, Chairman.
I guess we won't be going back into history then, huh?
Deep inside the sleek modern surface of the building that houses the newest adjunct to the growing diversities of Paul Mack Productions, amidst winding corridors, security cameras, thick carpet, smooth glass, cold steel, and warm secretaries, past offices and sound stages, Syrian cybernetic elevators, laboratories, and prop departments deep in the lowest reaches of the structure, in the bowels of the building. No, even deeper, in the lower colon of this sophisticated, futuristic monument to state-of-the-art media productions is the well-ignored studio. I mean, well-guarded studio, where one independent producer with the dubious security of a complex contract with Paul Mack, but no map for getting out of the building, conjures and contrives, probes and slices, ping-pongs and splices in the glow of flashing lights from the electronic marvels with which he is confined. His hands fly across the control board in a dizzying blur. His form-fitting black leather Syrian cybernetics chair swivels and spins incessantly. Beads of sweat glisten upon his brow in spite of sophisticated environmental control devices. His wireless headphones pump a steady stream of oral stimulation while his eyes dart from VU meters to the wall-sized video monitors and back again, synchronizing his every move, his every thought, his every breath. His every move, his every thought, and his every breath. His name is William Wilde, and you found him, as always, on the wild side.
Wild side.
Thanks for calling the Wild Side. This is the second Wild Side tape going out on 761-3330, assaulting your ears from July 10th through the 16th, 1985. Actually, you could call it Debut Part 2, because my first tape was as much a transition as anything. But now you have some idea what's going on over here. The Wild Side can settle in and get comfortable. I know there's still going to be questions, and I'll still be taking time out to explain things occasionally. For instance, here's a little point about the Wild Side format that I'd like to make clear. I don't believe any one of us is so stupid that we don't notice the negative things in life. From getting up in the morning to find that there's no hot water in the shower, to worrying about the starving people of the world, it's all there all the time. And we don't need photos with circles and arrows and a paragraph on the back to explain what each one is, or strangers or even friends pointing out the negative stuff. We know it. We can see it. The papers are full of it. The TV is full of it. The radio is full of it.
And you're full of it.
I'm full. Now, wait a minute. You're supposed to be on my side. That's better. Anyway, phone folks, my intention is to try and present a positive attitude and comment on positive experiences. It's a necessity to take notice of the negative side of life, but it's your right to also look on the bright side, or the wild side, which brings me round to the crux of the issue. The reason you punched your pulse tones, the news, reviews, and comments. As Paul would say, we've got lots of stuff for you, and very little time to do it in your ear. So we'll get back to the future and see what you said in the week just past, to be played on the tape I'm making in my present, to be played for the future, which is now your present. Anyway, if this semi-competent computer can find the first usable comment for the week, it looks for the input that's appropriate to our format and ignores the rest, you see. Here it comes. Stand by. Here we go.
Hey, there, Mike. Am I on the air? Oh, yeah, I guess I am. Well, I really don't know what to say, so I'll just think about something. Let's talk about furniture.
Wrong.
Tickets. Come on, let's see your tickets. This is a ticket holder's line. Everybody's got to have a ticket here. Everybody have a ticket? You got a ticket?
Sure, I have a ticket.
All right, get back in line.
Well, hello, William. This is Lance Van Ars. Just called to wish you good luck with the Wild Side, presented by Paul Mack. And hope you make it as successful as you made the movie line. Good luck.
Hello, William. Wild. Well, I can't wait to hear the new format of 761-3330. I hope it's just as good, or even better, than the old format at 761-3330. Okay, so anyway, this is Rich E. Calcom. You know my number, 818-998. No, what am I saying? That's my input number.
Yeah, well, Richie, I do know your number, but do you? Can you say my output number is 818-994-4111? I bet you can.
My output number is 818-994-4111 for output, or when dialing from the West Valley at 818-407-1111. At any rate, we'll be hearing from all you in the future here, and welcoming a new comment format to Southern California, because hey, we need an open form comment line out in the East Valley. I mean, hey, seems like that all the comment lines now, with the exception of 761-3330, are all imported from the West Valley, and we have our East Valley importer numbers. That's a good name for that. I just came with a good number. Good name for that. The import number. I mean, we're importing you. We're exporting you the. We're exporting you feedback, because feedback is out there whenever they're up. And of course, there's Calcoms, who's out there always at 994-4111. And then you can always call the party line that's down there, but up here from the West Valley, it's either me or feedback, so call them both or call them all. So this is Richie Calcom welcoming a new format to 761-3330. Bye now.
Well, look at the Wild. Everybody's going to be looking forward to him. This is DBNBF. Danny Van Eyes is best friend, and I just wanted to say, God, what a wild time. I was going to try to choke on this line, but, God, you ever had one of those times where, while the input message is playing, you're trying to recover from that mental block, you cannot think of that joke you were going to tell? Oh, hell, I'll tell it sometime later. I don't know. Tweet. What?
Why, that's ridiculous.
Magic Mountain, yahoo!
Since Magic Mountain opened Bugs Bunny World, the fun just got funnier. Funnier rides. Funnier shows.
Funnier friends.
Six Flags Magic Mountain. Now, we have Bugs.
Monica, hello. Greetings to new host. The movie review I would leave tonight is Cocoon, which I just got back from seeing. Great movie. Really enjoyable. I don't know. Ron Howard's done three films now, Night Shift and Splash and Cocoon. Definitely a similar feeling in Splash and Cocoon. A lot of heart. And thoroughly enjoyable, mesmerizing. He took a big risk in putting himself out there to be compared with Spielberg and Close Encounters and E.T. And whereas I've heard him being interviewed, and it doesn't really borrow from them, and that it was a story someone else wrote. A lot of overlap and similar devices being used, but good all the way. The only question we had in driving back and talking about it is that in Splash, he used the device of a mermaid to kind of explore what is love, and can a person love in spite of huge differences and taking huge risks and things like that. And so it really could happen to any of us. We could fall in love with someone who is different, causing us to sacrifice who knows what. And the only thing in Cocoon is that I'm not sure if they really offered any hope for anybody who's growing old. Well, by the way, I think we all are, except for hoping that aliens will come by. In other words, there's no resolution as to what do you do about the decay of mind and body. So, but as far as like pure fantasy, like go see it, dig it, and that's all I have to say tonight. Goodbye.
A list of fun things to do this summer. Blow your nose on expensive garment at Neiman Marcus. Flash at a car full of nuns. And for you more adventurous types out there, distribute white supremacist literature in Watts.
And now, here's the feature you've all been waiting for. This week's Wild Sides Dining Survival Tip.
Hello, this is Patricia the Dyke phoning in. I'm so glad now because I can give a movie review, or, you know, I want to talk about food poisoning here because I don't remember the name of the restaurant there, but they gave me the food, honey, and I started eating on it, and I got it just like clenched my tooth, and it was horrible. And so I said, can you take it back? You know, this food is horrible. And you know what she said? No. So I threw it in her face, and then I ran. And
dining survival tip of the week.
That's the only way to handle when restaurants fuck you over. You get up and walk out. And I haven't paid for a meal in about 3 years because I always say it's horrible. Goodbye. Thank you.
I do not have any of what you call sense.
How about some meat between two pieces of bun?
Special news report just in. Former President Gerald Ford was castrated while trying to open a can of split pea soup. Further details upcoming.
It's right, Sergeant. It's all my fault. I take full responsibility.
This is Frank McGee. The flight of Gemini Titan 7, man's first 14-day orbital mission, is scheduled to begin tomorrow. You can see the launch with simultaneous split-screen coverage of the Penn State-Maryland football game exclusively on NBC. Jiminy color coverage begins tomorrow at 12 noon Eastern, 11 Central, and 9 a.m. Pacific time.
That's really weird. This computer is subject to breakdowns during periods of critical need, but playing a TV spot from the mid-60s, I mean, Jiminy Titan, that was a long time ago, man. I haven't got time for this sort of... Well, that's it. I'm going to call Paul about this. Come on, pick up the phone, Paul. Well, while we wait, I should suggest that you get your pen and paper, because I'll give you some numbers. No, not that kind. Like phone numbers. First, there's the Wild Side input line at 818-761-0333. Be sure to call. No, not now. After the tape. Come on, Paul. You schmuckbuttum. Well, there's also Al Bernays' Maps to Stars Homes educational tapes at 213-876-4111 for output and 213-855-0999 for input. Oh, boy, dread. Paul Mack must have all the time in the world. Well, let me also mention the address for sending hate mail to Paul Mack Productions. That's P.O. Box 2600. That's 2600, Mount Wilson, 91023. And the Wild Side address for sending fan letters, chocolate brownies, panties, who with your phone number on it, photographs, blood samples. Excuse me. That address is William, just William, P.O. Box 38604. That's 38604, Hollywood, 90038. Damn it, Paul. I can't pad forever. Pick up the phone and talk to me. Answer me, motherfucker.
Answer me, motherfucker.
Talk to me, motherfucker.
Answer me, motherfucker.
This is Morgana in the South Bay. I am so excited that you're hosting your own line. I think that expanding the format of a line to include entertainment other than movies is a perfectly yummy idea. And I intend to make William Wilde a big part of my summer. I intend to make your line a large part of my summer fun.
It's okay, Morgana. I would rather liked it better the first way myself.
Congratulations, William.
Thanks for the compliment, Morgana. By the way, if you're going to call again in the future, please speak up more loudly with your sexy voice or our input machine. I mean, if I'm going to be deep voice, I'd just as soon hear it.
Yeah, this is Eric Canoga. And let's see. I just went and saw a Pale Rider. And St. Elmo's Fire. St. Elmo's Fire was pretty good. And all the characters were self-centered, but it was a pretty good movie otherwise. And Pale Rider was a classic western in the typical spaghetti western way. And Clint Eastwood was good. And let's see. I saw Back to the Future too. And that was a rad movie. Go see it.
Pale Rider, directed by and starring Clint Eastwood. Pale Rider, rated R.
St. Elmo's Fire, starring Rob Lowe, Demi Moore, Emilio Estevez, Ali Sheedy, Judd Nelson, Mare Winningham, and Andrew McCarthy. Written by Joel Schumacher and Carl Kurtender. Produced by Lauren Shuler, directed by Joel Schumacher. The heat this summer is at St. Elmo's Fire. Rated R, under 17, not admitted without parent. Check newspapers for theater information and showtime.
I'm exhausted, I'm tired, I'm nervous, see? What'll I do? What'll I do?
Why don't you go to bed?
Gee, thanks loads. By now, I feel better already.
Indiana, and hearing you go on about serious cybernetics in the introduction to your first Wildside tape reminded me that I've been wanting to mention here on what used to be the movie line and is now the Wildside that they're working on making a Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy movie. That's right, ladies and gentlemen, and Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy fans of Douglas Adams, they're making a film out of the Ford book Hitchhiker's Trilogy. Now, I myself have all the radio shows on tape. I have the television series on videotape. I have the albums. I have the books. I have autographs. I have pictures. I have T-shirts. I have anything you could possibly have about the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy because I'm a bigger fan than this Mike the Galactic Hitchhiker, who I've never heard of before. Or, I mean, never met before. I heard of him from Paul Mack. I'm blow him away in Hitchhiker's Guide fandom, okay? I've met the man, Douglas Adams himself. He autographed all my books. Anyway, they're working on the film. They finally accepted a screenplay from Douglas Adams for the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. It's at Paramount Studios. Doug Adams has his own parking space there, and they've set up a Hitchhiker's Guide production office. So, be patient, Hitchhiker's Guide fans. But not too patient. If it takes too long, hey, let's write letters to Paramount, tell them to get their ass moving. I want my movie. Anyway, this has been Dale LaCagnata. Welcome, William Wilde, and until then, may the force be with you.
Hello, I am C-3PO, Human Cyborg Relations. Welcome, Mr. William Wilde, and welcome to your new show as well. Good luck following in Mr. Mack's footsteps. The reason I am calling is to tell you about a new film coming out called Back to the Future, produced by a friend of my master, Mr. George Lucas, produced by Mr. Steven Spielberg. Back to the Future stars Michael J. Fox and Christopher Lloyd, and it's a rather interesting time travel film. I don't want to give away any of the plot, but it's very funny and very well executed, and it's a lot of fun to see. I saw it in a preview at the Academy of Motion Pictures Arts and Sciences. Please see it, and once again, good luck, Mr. Wilde. This has been C-3PO, and may the force be with you.
No life forms were aboard.
I am talking about traveling through time.
Now, it's time again to welcome Back to the Future. I mean, Back to the Wild Side. My friend, internationally published film reviewer, The Emperor. And it's about time, too. I mean, it's about time, too. How the hell would it?
Hold the wire. This is The Emperor with another hot flash from Glitter City.
Wait a minute, sire. That sounds obscene.
Oh, well, we don't want to be obscene. I'll just go ahead and do a movie review then. This time I'm going to talk about Back to the Future, the new Steven Spielberg presentation. And of course, that's just what it is, a Steven Spielberg presentation. He didn't actually involve himself in the production of the film. It was written and directed by other people. But it's a bright, exuberant time travel fantasy and a credit to his name. When Marty McFly, young high school student, gets in the time-traveling DeLorean automobile of his friendly neighborhood crazy professor, he ends up in 1955, and the first thing he does there is to prevent his parents from meeting for the first time. Of course, this is all bunk from a time-travel perspective, and though the film comes off as science fiction, it's really just fantasy. But it's a bright, exuberant fantasy with top-notch performances from Family Ties, Michael J. Fox, and the irrepressible Christopher Lloyd from Taxi and Star Trek III. They're backed up by a great cast, all of whom play themselves in both the 50s and the 80s. The end is exciting, but the tag scene is no surprise to science fiction fans, except for the fact that the end of the picture isn't really the end of the picture. After all, when you can travel in time, your picture can start anywhere and end anywhere you like. For the moment, I'm ending here. This is the Emperor. So long, and until tomorrow. Or yesterday.
Yesterday.
Time now for another episode of Back to the Future, the exciting adventures of Marty McFly and the Amazing Time Machine. When we last left you, Marty had just landed in the year 1955 in mad scientist Dr. Emmett Brown's incredible time machine. In today's episode, Marty meets his mother and father when they were just kids and immediately is in deep trouble.
This is more serious than I thought.
Whoa, wait a minute. Doc, are you trying to tell me that my mother has got the hots for me?
Precisely.
Whoa, this is heavy.
Well, stay tuned for more. And thrill to all of Marty McFly's incredible, wonderful adventures at your favorite theater as Steven Spielberg presents a Robert Zemeckis film, Back to the Future, from Universal Pictures. Rated PG, parental guidance suggested.
Now, Master, tool of the universe, expose yourself to us.
Oh, maybe I didn't get that part right. Now, Master, instrument of the universe.
Hey, Mr. Wild, I'd love to take a walk on the wild side. This is the voice from the West, Michael Venice. Bill, you're doing a great job. Paul, I'm really going to miss you. But what can we say? Life goes on, and I'm sure we're going to hear from you in other creative endeavors. Bill, I've got a review of a videotape, one that you can rent or buy. Instead of writing out a review, because I wholeheartedly agree what it says on the back, I'll read you this. It is by Fire Sign Theater. It's called Hot Shorts, where they've taken some old Saturday afternoon serials and redubbed them, and it is hilarious. So I'll read it to you. Hot Shorts is a wacky send-up of classic Saturday matinee cliffhanger serials created by America's largest-selling comedy recording group, the Fire Sign Theater. By adding new voices, new sound effects, and new music, Fire Sign has brought the action heroes and heroines in the past into comic confrontation with the modern world. Commando, Cody of the Rocket Men, the voluptuous Black Widow, and that dashing daredevil Spy Smasher may be surprised to find themselves tracking down deadly herpes, raiding sperm banks, and waging desperate war against cigarette smokers. For us, they look better than ever. For people who don't know the Fire Sign Theater, they were a multimedia production and performance company based in L.A. Since 67, they've created 21 record albums, 4 books, 3 films, and a series of nationally syndicated radio shows, numerous TV appearances, and a truly decade of live performances have taken them from cabarets to Carnegie Hall. I've been fortunate enough to have seen them live years ago at UC Berkeley. And I used to get stoned and listen to their albums constantly, way back in the hippie times. Some of the titles are Revenge of the Non-Smokers, Mounties Catch Herpes, Sperm Bank Holdup, Nazi Diet Doctors, Toy Wars, Clause 2, Olympic Confidential, The Last Handgun on Earth, and Heaven is Hell. And they are funny. I fell out of my chair, side-splitting laughter. Bill, they're available. I belong to 2020 Video, which is a rental video club. You can rent it there. It's in beta and VHS, and it's distributed by RCA Columbia Pictures Home Video. I don't have a number. I can't find it on here, you know, a patent number or an order number. But I'm sure you could find it or request it. And it's put up, by the RCA Video Productions and Columbia Pictures Home Video. It's only about an hour and a half thing. And believe me, it's great. For somebody who used to love Fire Sign Theaters, they have succeeded in bridging the leap with new technology, and they've stayed just as funny. And oh, by the way, this includes voices, words, and sketches written and performed by Phil Austin, Peter Bergman, and Philip Proctor. They're aided by some, female friends who are also very funny in their voices that I don't know, Diane Davison, Joan Garber, and Patty Paris. And that's all I've got to say. I really enjoyed it, and glad to be able to give a review on it. And Bill, I hope things stay positive. I love your positive format. And that's about it. Keep up the good work. Sorry this was so long, but this is a hot video, let me tell you. Again, that's Fire Sign Theater's Hot Shorts. Talk to you later, Bill. Good luck. We
William Wilde. I should call you Dr. William Wilde. This is going to be very difficult, thinking about positive comments. Very hard for me because, you know how I have been in the past and probably in the future. But I don't know what to say about this summer except there's a lot of good music groups coming out with new songs and everything. Maybe we'll all listen to the words and learn something from them. Plus your new song, Mr. Fun, that you take it from Mr. Blue Fleetwood song back in '68 was a good choice. I like that song. I'm putting that as my pick hit of the week because one of your better songs. All your songs always turn up on my request list. It's always good, and I wish they would appear on a regular radio station. I'd like you to get real big and famous so I could say that I knew somebody that accomplished something while I was here. But even though we haven't met, I feel like I know you. Probably put up a good line. You try to cheer everyone up. Your stuff's very poetic. It should be noticed. It should be played on a popular radio station somewhere. And also, maybe one other thing that's sort of positive, a lot of the hostages have been released now. And it's, at least one good thing that's happened recently. And I'm told there's still a few of them that are prisoners, a few Americans that they're holding. I don't know if it's 7 or it's 10 or something like that, but they haven't let them all go, but at least some of them have. I don't know, do what you can, try to play this comment, and God bless. I hope you're well, and keep up the good entertaining.
I don't understand, Bob. I've always thought of you as Mr. Fun Jr. Well, I'll give you E for effort. You really tried to be positive for the Wild Side, but I've come up with a solution for you. If you should happen to see a really good film or read an article or a book about the world being scum or burning flags and like that, call Wild Side Input and review it.
All right, Bill. All right, Paul. This is Tech Super Sound. That was very funny. You think that sounds like me?
Jeez, I don't think so at all.
That was a very good impersonation, or I should say very, very bad impersonation of me, Bill. Didn't sound like me at all. Anybody who knows me won't be fooled by that for a second. Well, at any rate, pretty good first take. That was pretty good. I'll be looking forward to hearing some more of what's going on over there at the Wild Side. And by the way, you guys, the Wild Side is not only over in North Hollywood. Over here in Santa Monica, there's a Wild Side too. So, forget it.
Do your worst. Your future unemployment depends on it.
Well, troops, I can see by the old digital readout on the wall that I've run a bit long this week. Yeah, I'm not going to have time to show you around the studio and show you all the little rad gadgets and stuff. But then, this is really debut part 2. So give me a break, huh? Yeah, well, they won't all be this long. Anyway, we're going to wrap up this Wild Side for the present and invite you to be here again for future trips into the Wild Side. And thanks for helping us spend so much time on your phone with this tape I made in my present. To be played in the future, which... Wait a minute. Oh, that's weird. I feel like I've already said that. Ooh, deja vu. That's strange, man. Anyway, before I go, I really have to thank some folks for spreading the word about the Wild Side debut. I want to thank the Party Line at 213-205-7980 for output and 205-7985 for input, and telephone at 818-882-9524 for output and 818-882-9523 for input. Of course, there's Twilight Phone at 818-366-9626 for output, and I'm not really sure what his input is. I think I'm going to have to ask Rod Serling or something. Anyway, then there's, of course, Talk of the Town or the REC Network or whatever at 818-407-1111 and 994-4111 for output and 818-998-2111 for input. And remember to call that crazy joke line out in the 213 area, Supersound, at 213-399-0996. You know, I just can't shake the feeling of deja vu. It's like I've done all of this before. Well, I don't know. Anyway, I should... Just let me... Here, I have to check a few gauges, and it's all just so I know, okay? Hang on a second. It'll just take a minute.
What you dream of here?